I doubt this. I doubt it very much. I doubt that it rings at all true in terms of American democracy, the freedom that we know in this country. My time is getting limited, I'm aware of this, and I'm going to skip over some of the arguments I would like very much to present to you on this bill. I hope very much that everyone here will secure copies of this bill and read it carefully, and then will support, if you will, and think in your informed conscience it desirable, this bill. And then, if you think this bill is dangerous, that you will let your legislators know that you think it is dangerous. There is one point where we are certainly agreed, the opposition and ourselves on this bill. It is not innocuous. We think the results are going to be bad and very bad. The opposition think they're going to be good, apparently very good. We are agreed it is not an innocuous bill. And I'm delighted to see this audience out hearing the pros and cons on this bill tonight. Now, when it was asked in this bill that the Assistant Attorney General present to the grand jury all information and evidence of such matters, and note this carefully, I'm quoting, which may have come to his attention, may have come to his attention, it is clear to me that although it is clear that the grand jury cannot charge any person as being disloyal unless it has first indicted that person, that these records, including all hearsay, all sorts of innuendo and poison pen operations, is a very dangerous thing to have reported out of the grand jury deliberation. Though it cannot charge any person, it must report under this bill the data that is secured and in its hands. I need not, I think, bring your attention to the fact that even though the well-trained FBI, in its developing of dossiers, has done some important service to this country, there is a real question whether or not the files which they have kept should be open to public scrutiny because of the necessity of the hearsay evidence which has been maintained in their dossiers. I am afraid of this thing. I want decisions that are responsible made by disinterested and responsible men on who is the verses. Even then, I want such decisions subject to American standards of judicial review. I want people cleared by guilt by association and trial by newspaper standards. I don't want this business that has occurred when a man accused on some such grounds as this bill would allow says, who is this man that says I am a communist? He has no name, no face, no security number. Who am I defending myself against? Danger only to the subversive? No real danger to the real subversive in this. There are real dangers to personal freedom, to freedom of speech, to freedom of association, within loyal and patriotic organizations. This bill, its probable effects in creating a climate of fear and general restrictiveness, are, in my opinion, wholly incompatible with the sorts of personalities, for example, that we need in teachers to educate young people for a democratic citizenship. If this bill become law, the teachers of the state, as well as other public employees, are wide open to being fired from pique and are subject to political favoritism without opportunity for judicial review. Nationally, a subversive activity control board of 5 members appointed by the president is empowered to determine if organizations are a communist action or communist front and whether or not an individual is a member. Provision is made for judicial review of board decisions upon petition to the U.S. Court of Appeals, and in turn this may be reviewed by the Supreme Court. I'm glad to see this coming about nationally. This state bill goes to the opposite extreme, and in my opinion represents high danger to American freedom. Thank you.
Here, the third and final speaker for the affirmative, Senator Robert Young from Williamson County.
Chairman, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Timekeeper, if I may, I'd like to give the audience my first half minute to let them rise and kind of get up off of it. Ladies and gentlemen, I stand before you as a co-sponsor of Senate Bill 102, and I might say I stand before you almost apologetically. I am not a lawyer, I'm not an educator. The man says I'm just not nothing. I'm a member of the General Assembly, a senator from the 50th District. I'm ex-GI, and the only reason that I am before you is because of what I call the love of my country. All through my life, starting as far back as I can remember, in the third grade when I used to pledge allegiance to the flag, on through high school with the spirit of athletics, and reading the great periods of history that we Americans have had, through Thomas Jefferson, Washington, Lincoln, up to present day, I have always had an inherent pride in the fact that I am an American, and America, the United States, is my country. So it is rather proud I was, after having served in the armed forces, having come home, one of the lucky ones from across, and having been elected to the General Assembly of the State of Illinois. And then, too, I was proud when, after searching, I might say, for the right kind of legislation that would give the people that I had met across the seas something to grasp, something to hang on to, something that I knew that if they once knew that the United States was doing something to ban communism and to make it rather drastic to belong to such an association, I knew that they would have the hope that they needed. I knew that there are thousands and thousands of people who are under the dominating influence of Red Russia, who would like to get out and who are seeking ways out every day and every night. I knew almost 100 years ago that Abraham Lincoln, in his immortal speech at Gettysburg, that all of us know, when he talked about whether this nation or any nation so dedicated and so conceived. It isn't any wonder to me what the man meant, because in the early revolutionary days, it was a fight uphill. It was Washington and Jefferson fighting to give the people the Bill of Rights and to create the United States of America that we now have and have had. And the fight was on, and it was staunch men and women who led the fight and kept fighting until their children and their grandchildren had what they wanted. And then, as it always is in our good country and our good people, there was always a period of, shall we say, lackadaisical. There we were, perched just neither here nor there, nothing to fight for. We had what we want, most of us. And then all of a sudden, we found ourselves in another war. That held us together. That is something that made us stick close to one another and fight shoulder to shoulder in order to bring that solidarity that we need. Then after the war is over, we find ourselves again. The swing of the pendulum is toward the left. We are about to forget. We need something that will drive home to us what is going on about us, and what are we going to do about it. We aren't awakened as yet, as a whole, to the actual crisis that confronts us. I imagine that if tonight Chicago were bombed by tomorrow morning, there wouldn't be a dissenting vote in the state Senate if this bill were called up as it is on third reading. There wouldn't be anything. The only thing that would be amended would be the fact to change the penal sentences to one of death for even having a card in a communist organization. Tonight, I have quite a few friends. You have friends. You have kinfolk who are in the armed forces, who are in Korea, who are fighting communism, who are fighting communists, whether they be Chinese or whether they be Russian, Mongolian, North Korean, whatever they are, they're communists and they're killing. There isn't anything going to stop Russia, nothing at all, except an aroused America. And an aroused America will make way for legislation such as Senate Bill 102. The sponsors of this bill has provided a penalty for anyone who is a member of a Communist Party or a subversive organization. Now, where do they get their listing as to what is a subversive organization? Who is a communist? That is common knowledge that we all read in the daily newspaper, that we have listings sent out from Washington that says exactly which organizations are subversive and which are communistic, which are foreign subversive organizations and which are just subversive. You read the daily paper and you can also see where we are alarmed. The government is alarmed at what one communist could do on a ship going through the Panama Canal. Just one communist. They say, don't be alarmed. There are only 43,000 communists in the whole United States. Only 43,000 in the whole United States. Yet it would take one to blow up the whole Panama Canal. It would only take one to wreck a whole train full of American soldiers. Don't you think that they are organized? Don't you think that they have plans? I wish that all of you could have been present in the Senate chambers and heard the witnesses who spoke for this bill. One was a Russian whose family had gone back to Russia, and he had gone with them. And his arguments were so sound and so sincere that this is what they needed. This is what they wanted. And then, on the other hand, we had officers from the United States Army, the United States Navy, the Marines, and all the Allied services who were members of the counterintelligence and who knew what was going on behind the lines all during the war. They knew that Russia was spreading, always spreading. They knew that it was their ultimate goal to spread all over the world and conquer it.